One announcement I forgot to make. There is something in all of your boxes out there. Judy made a special, special Christmas card for everybody. So make sure you pick one of those up. If you have a Bible today, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The days may get dark, but the sun's going to come up. And we're in kind of like a waiting pattern, waiting for the Lord to come. And it's an exciting thing. We have a great, a bright future as Christians. We're going to be with the Lord forever. And all of the promises in the Bible that have to do with that. 1 Corinthians 15 is called the resurrection chapter. A lot of people call it that because it deals entirely with that. And talks about the death, the burial, the resurrection, which is the gospel in the first four verses. And then it shows a picture of the glory of God as you get to the end of the chapter. We're just going to look at one verse and pick out one thought there and then speak about that. There's plenty to say about it. I won't completely cover it in this service, but look with me at verse 19. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. This life only. I started thinking about that phrase earlier in the week, and then God just seemed to direct to that. But this life is really a focus for all of us. Sometimes we're not heavenly minded. Sometimes we're not setting our affection on things above rather than things on the earth. And we get all focused on everything that's going on here and not our future, not our eternal life. And there's nothing wrong with that in some respects, but we'll see there are some dangers to it where you can get your mind off of the Lord and off of what is a blessing to him and his work. He certainly blessed us. Amen. Like J.R. said, it's a blessing just to be able to meet together in church, open the Word of God, sing these songs. You know, it's such a blessing. We have a message so great that we can share it with family, friends, neighbors, fellow workers that can transform their life now, abundant life, but also give them eternal life. And so that is just such a privilege for us. But let's ask God to bless his word today. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And may that word bring hope. May that word comfort us, strengthen us. Lord, thank you for our future. You said you know the thoughts that you think towards us, wonderful thoughts to give us an expected end. And we pray for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. In this life only, if that's all there is, we are of all men most miserable. If, you know, if this is it, then what's the sense in really anything? But there's an eternal, unseen spiritual hope. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, powerful verse, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. There are things that we see, there are things that we don't see. Here's the rest of the verse, it explains it. It says, for the things which are seen are temporal. They relate to time. They are happening right now. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, we don't see it with the physical eye, but we see it with the spiritual eye. But we don't see it now. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, you know, and we look forward to that. We look forward to being with God. But we know what we know about heaven by what the Word says. We've not been there yet. Amen. We haven't seen it with our eyes. There is a temporal, secular, seen hope. And we all live in that realm. You know, man, I hope the car starts today, right? And I hope this and I hope that. And so we'll see things about that. Proverbs 13:12, in this life only, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And there's a lot of disappointment in life. And so we're of all men most miserable. If that's all there is to it, if there's no blessing in the cross that we carry, if there's no opportunity to show the love of Christ through a tribulation, through a trial, then man, it's every man for himself. And we're not going to see the goodness of God in all things. But it talks about being heartsick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So don't get your hopes up. Have you ever heard that? You know, just don't get your hopes up. So the way to protect yourself from disappointment is don't get your hopes up. Man, we can be miserable people if we don't get our hopes up. One preacher wrote this. He says, when you don't get your hopes up, you don't protect yourself from disappointment. You actually experience it twice. Once when you're trying to avoid getting hopeful, and then again when your non-hopeful outlook is confirmed. So you just live in this world of, what's the Charlie Brown thing, you know? Maybe good grief, you know? And it's just every day's a bad day. Three times in John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter a question. Three times. And there was a reason for that. There are verily, verilies in the Bible. There are things that are repeated, sometimes the exact same verses. But three times in John chapter 21, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And Peter had to answer those questions, and God brought him to a conclusion. Remember, Peter denied the Lord three times. And so there's a lot of ideas about why God repeats a verse, and when you see a therefore, you look what it's there for. So you read the previous verses. And so God does that. But in Psalm 42 and 43, these are very similar verses. See if you can say the same thing. 42 and verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. So why are we cast down? Why are we disquieted? We're to hope in God, right? Because he's going to bless us. We are going to praise him one day. Psalm 42, 11, that was verse 5. Here's another verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Well, Pastor, that's the same verse we just read. Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's another one. This is Psalm 43 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. It's talking about something future. It's not talking about getting focused on why we're cast down. Why are we cast down? And it says, put your hope in God because you're going to praise him one day. And so it's always looking to the future. We're always looking to the future. Hope is confidence, this is the definition, in a future event. Confidence in a future event. So it's not, man, I hope so. No, biblical hope is strong. It's the real deal, amen? So it says, confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good, as a hope founded on God's gracious promises. It is impossible for God to lie. And what he says will come to pass. We know that in studying prophecy. We've studied Old Testament prophecy, and we've seen in the past some of that prophecy fulfilled. The prophecy that isn't fulfilled yet is still going to be fulfilled, just like the last prophecy was fulfilled. Did you get all that? It's a little complicated. Amen. But, I mean, it's going to happen. Whatever God says, it's going to come to pass. But back to the temporal, not the future. Have you ever been disappointed? No? Okay, Richard has never been disappointed. And we have that on tape. Not on tape. We have that recorded. Disappointments are his appointments. So even in the disappointments, God is at work. He can take something bad and make it good. All things work together for good. To them who love the God, that to them are the called according to his purpose. And so you see the hand of God in everything. Disappointed because of circumstances. We hoped it would turn out this way, but it didn't turn out that way. So we're disappointed that it didn't turn out that way. Disappointed because of people. Boy, I thought they would, but they didn't. You know, you're by the side of the road. It's pouring down rain. You have two flat tires. and you're out there trying to do something and wave down cars, and here you see Gino, and you recognize his truck, and here he comes, and man, wow, I can get out of this rain. He'll take me to the station, and we'll get the car, whatever needs to happen. And he waves as he passes you. Yeah, and that's a true situation. No, that's not. But I mean, people can disappoint you. Certainly, you've never disappointed anybody, right? I mean, but it works both ways, doesn't it? But we get disappointed because we hope something. Well, I never expected that to happen. I never expected them to do this or do that. And so we all have disappointments. We lose hope. We become hopeless. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to be hopeless? Ah, it's just so much joy. No, you find joy where you find hope. You find peace where you find hope. You find strength where you find hope. And when you lose hope, boy, that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to have. So there's hopeless and there's hopeful. If you have a Bible, turn back with me to the book of Job. Book of Job. And we will look at chapter 7. Job chapter 7. We'll read a couple sections in Job. Boy, Job had a real trial. And he started out real, real good. And he had lots of losses. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know, that was his attitude. But look with me at verse 1. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Job is speaking. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work? He's looking forward to something. This is hard work. This is a difficult position, but there will be a reward. So am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? And the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and fro under the dawning of the day. When you read about all that Job has lost, the trial that he's going through, even his friends, you are amazed. And this describes it. He says, my flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. He has suffered every way a man could suffer. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. His days are spent without hope. Now, he's not necessarily talking about a future hope with God, because God knows everything and he believes the promises of God. And we'll look at that in just a minute. This is Job 19, if you want to turn over there. Job 19. In Job 19 and verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He believed that all hope in this life was gone. He was misunderstood. Argument with his friends, that nothing worked out. His health is gone. He's lost his wealth. No hope. Days without hope. But he had hope in a future day. I think that is really a blessing. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, 53, I think, it talks about this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. We're going to be changed. Amen. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We have all of those promises in the Word of God. And we're getting older. Yeah, a little bit older. Amen. And this doesn't work like it used to, and that doesn't work like it used to. And you start repeating things. I've used that too many times. But, you know, all of the things that happen. And sometimes in this life, there is no recovery from something. You know? We're just not going to recover. It can happen financially, it can happen physically, it can happen circumstantially. There's just no recovery. And we have to be able to look beyond this life, because there's a purpose in all of that. Acts chapter 27, verse 20. Paul is in a storm. He's on a prison ship. He's going to Rome. And he's told them, don't sail. I don't think it's a good idea. But they believe the captain of the ship more than they did Paul, naturally. And so they sailed at an inopportune time. So they're in the middle of a storm. And the Bible says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. These are the circumstances. All hope is taken away. We have faced the fact that the ship is going to go down. So they were hopeless because of the circumstances. But Paul had a promise. He went down and he was praying. And he came up and he says, be of good cheer. Do you ever say be of good cheer to somebody who's hopeless? You know, it just doesn't work too well. And he says, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Nobody's going to lose their life. And here, he's the prisoner. But they knew he was a man of God. And so he's speaking for God. I believe God, it shall be as it was told me. This is what God said. This is what God told me. Nobody's going to lose their life. And you come to the end of the chapter, and the Bible says in verse 44, it came to pass they were all safe to land. Now that would encourage somebody the next trial. Amen? But here it is, it's a hopeless situation, but Paul heard what God said, and so that obviously came to pass, and it changed something. Romans 15, 13, powerful verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Where does joy come from? Where does the peace come from? Believing what God said. So he's the God of hope. And it says that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's how we get that hope. It's the Word of God. The Spirit of God makes that real to us. We have Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is that he is. So God says, I am that I am. And we say, he is that he is. If he says, I am the bread of life, we say, he's the bread of life. If he says, I am the water of life, you drink of me, you'll never thirst. You have to understand, that's a spiritual meaning. Amen. It's not temporal. It's not something we think of here. Then we say, he's the water of life. If he says, I am abundant life, I am eternal life, we believe that. He is that he is. If he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we can take that message, I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. You say, well, I never heard that in the Bible. Well, I heard it. I heard God say it. How do you hear God say it? You just read it. Amen? And so you hear what God has to say to you, and you share that with somebody else. But some other people, because of circumstances, just don't believe the future's going to be any good, because it's all temporal. It's not eternal. It's good that he cares for us. It's good that he went to prepare a place for us. It's good that he will come again and receive us unto himself. That's a message. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul said that. When I spoke to you the word of God, praise God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the very word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believeth. In Ephesians 2:12, that at that time, these believers in Ephesians, in Ephesus, that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, without God in the world. So when we talk about something eternal, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, the Bible says that. The hypocrite's hope, Job. But this is not the hypocrite's hope. This is our hope. It's a strong hope. Amen? And so it says, they were without Christ, having no hope, without God in the world. Hebrews 6:18, the hope set before us, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. So we look forward to that blessed hope, Titus chapter 2, and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. Amen. Well, man, I mean, it's really bad in the world. Lift up your eyes. Look on the hills. Amen. That's where he's coming. He promised. He said he would. You have Colossians 1:5. For the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Romans chapter 4 and chapter 5, we read about Abraham. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And in chapter 4, he, against hope, believed in hope. Because he believed what God said he was able to perform. And so his body was dead, Sarah's body was dead, but God says, no, there's going to be a seed, and it's the promised seed. And through that promised seed is going to come the Christ. And Abraham believed God. Amen? He's the father of faith. Against hope, believed in hope. Man, I don't see how this is going to work. You know, but we trust God. Amen? And he doesn't change all our circumstances down here. I got a flat tire. Oh, God, put air in the tire. Oh, God. It might not work. It might, you know, if you want to try it. But that's a circumstantial thing. And sometimes, you know, we put too much trust in circumstances. On, what's the song? On Christ the solid rock I stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Who wrote this song? Who went through this? Who believed this? Who was helped by the Lord to write this that's been sung for years and years by the church, by Christians? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We sing it, but is it a part of our life? Again, that verse, his oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. The Christian life isn't without trial, without tribulation, without darkness, without opposition, right? Without disappointment. But God says, I have a better place for you. And where I am, there ye shall be also. And so heaven is a wonderful place. Again, Revelation. No sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no sin. We're all headed there as believers. Amen? But yet we get so tied up in the circumstances. Well, I lost hope in this. I lost hope in them. Well, there's a better hope. Amen? And even in the midst of all of that, God uses us. He uses our testimony. He uses our word. If he's told us something, we share that with other people. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you have a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. This is also in another gospel. But this is the parable of the seed and the sower. And all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus said, it says about Jesus, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. We build our lives, we build our eternity on that. It says in verse 14 of chapter 4, the sower soweth the word. Remember, he's interpreting this parable now. The sower went out and scattered the seed. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Man, they're forgetful hearers, and we're supposed to be doers of the word. Don't forget to do the word, because that puts it in. That, like a service. We're focused. What is God going to say to me today? But here's forgetful hearers. Verse 16. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They've gone from glad to sad. Now they're offended. What are they offended of? We have verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. All of these things, all of these problems, all of these lusts, all of these disappointments, just choke the word right out. They just choke it out. That's because the ground is bad. That the ground is bad. And you have verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. That's sowing and reaping. There's a time. You don't plant a seed and you go out the next morning and say, where's the fruit? It takes time, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, because the ground is good. Amen? The ground of faith. Praise the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Thomas in the Bible, we call him Doubting Thomas. But praise God, he did get right. Amen. And he goes, and he wasn't there when the Lord appeared to the disciples, and they're telling him, he's alive, he's alive. And he says, unless I see it with my own eyes and put my hand and feel the prints and the where the sword or the spear was, I won't believe it. And so he sees Jesus. And Jesus says, put your hand there. And be not faithless, but believe. And so he did, and he said, my Lord and my God. And in John chapter 20, in verse 29, Jesus said, you're blessed because you've seen. But he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. We haven't seen it. We've just read about it. Amen? And the Spirit of God takes this book, because it's a spiritual book, and makes it real to us in our heart. That's what being born again of the Spirit is. Thy word is truth. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. It's spiritual life. So it's not just circumstantial. Amen? So we can take a promise of God and make that real in our life, though the circumstances say hopeless. We can just trust God through it. Amen? So, again, it says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We haven't seen it, but we still love him. Amen? That's what that verse is saying. You haven't seen him, but you're rejoicing in the truth of the gospel with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's not tied to circumstances. That's tied to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But the Spirit reveals them unto us. How does the Spirit do that? This book. So he guides us into the truth of this book. We haven't seen it with our physical eye, but we believe it because we see it with our eye of faith. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly. Man, I wish I could see more of this. I wish it was clearer to me. I wish I understood. But you believe. Amen. Now we see through a glass darkly. But then, now, then, future. But then, face to face. That day is coming for us. Amen? The Bible goes on, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now, it's in part, through a glass darkly. Then, face to face, I shall know even as I'm known. But it's not then yet. But it's the promise, because that's what's going to happen. I'm going to have a new body. Praise God for that. Amen? And you might be praising God more than I'm praising God. But a new body. I'm going to be sinless in heaven without even the thought of anything wrong. Amen? Never disappointed, never hopeless, but just rejoicing for all eternity. Man, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, I believe it. I believe it. You say, well, how could that be? Doesn't matter. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So God spoke the worlds into existence. I believe it. Ah, that can't be. Well, it's a lot better than a big bang. Amen? Anyway, the Bible goes on here. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's what's going on right now. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When, now it's this, but when he shall appear, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. We shall see him as he is. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound. The Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It's a great song. Who wrote that? You need to read the background of the man that wrote that. Look it up. It's we believe God. We just believe God, not our circumstance. It says in 2 Peter that in the last days, there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lusts, scoffers, mockers, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were since the fathers fell asleep. I've heard that forever. It's never going to happen. It's going to happen. How do you know that, Pastor? Because God said it was going to happen. Amen? He said it. I believe it. That settles it. And somebody said, no, he said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to take place. It's going to take place. Where's the promise of his coming? John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he did tell us it's true. Amen. If I go away, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I shall doubtless come again and take you with me. He's coming for us. It's his promise. You have Acts 26 and verse 6. I'm almost through with my introduction. Amen? We'll get to the message in a minute. It says, the hope of the promise made of God. Our hope is in God. You ever put your hope in man? Put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in God. Even somebody could be sincere trying to give you the right answer or whatever, but it might be sincerely wrong. But God's never wrong. Amen? Our hope is in him. Our hope is in what he says. The hope of the promise made of God. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it all comes back to our faith, doesn't it? All comes back to our faith. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're born again. You're a new creature, a new creation in Christ. You see things differently. You feel things differently. You believe things differently. And this word is precious. Unto you which believe, he is precious. And the Bible talks about the precious blood and the precious word of God. And we have it today. Amen. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. So I never heard that before. Well, search the scriptures. Amen. Don't take a preacher's word for it. Well, he used this reference. Go look the reference up and see what God says to you. That's why we need to spend a lot of time in his word. Amen. Hope. Hope is a wonderful thing. It brings rejoicing. And sometimes you're in hopeless circumstances, but you'll never be hopeless with God. Without God, you're without hope. But if you have God, everything's going to be okay. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the hope that you've given us. It's both sure and steadfast. It's the anchor of our soul. And I pray as we experience trials, persecutions, afflictions, sicknesses, that we'll do so honoring you, that we'll do so bringing glory to you, Lord. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. One day, Lord, we'll be with you. May we keep our eyes on that. If in this life only, if everything's about this life, my, what a terrible thing. Bless us now. I pray that you would give us a joy of knowing we're going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.